This is Wisdom Booklet 46, studying one verse, Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Our insight through investigation portion will study the word fool as it is used in the Proverbs, an extended study and a very valuable study. I even used this as a basis for a study, a multi-week lesson in Sunday school class on the fool in Proverbs. And it was very, very helpful. And on the basis of that particular study, I observed the New Testament use of the word fool. I would like to share the means of you doing the spade work for that New Testament lesson based on this insight through investigation. So for this particular wisdom booklet, we won't study on the Greek tape, we won't study the insight through investigation portion. We'll use it as a springboard to study Greek. And for this lesson, you need the same tools again, your Greek tools, your New Testament, and your concordance, both the Strong's and the Englishman's, and your analytical lexicon, and the various grammar books that you might have. Spread them out on the table before you and enjoy a little study, spade work in God's Word. Let's pray. God in heaven, we ask that you would give us great wisdom. It's your promise. If any man lack wisdom, he can ask of God, and you'll give it to us liberally, and not upbraid or not rebuke us for that request. So we ask that as we're studying the fool, both in the Proverbs and then this New Testament use of the word fool, that we might gain from it, that we wouldn't be wise fools, but rather we'd be wise children, discerning your will and profiting as we develop the tools that you're giving us to use. We commit to you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. This study in Wisdom Book 46 is very similar to what we did last time, Wisdom Book 45, there with the word judge. Let's follow through and see if you can make these applications yourself, because if you can do it with the word judge, if you can do it with the word fool, you can do it with any New Testament word. We're learning a process today, and we're studying a specific example in order that we might exercise our skills in using the process. Let's begin, first of all, by opening to Strong's entry for the word fool. I have my Strong's Concordance open. Find the entry fool, and then foolish, and foolishly, and foolishness, and fools. And in the New Testament portion, I noted that once again, interestingly enough, there are a number of words, a number of Strong's number entries, all translated by the one English word, fool. So I made the list. Let's see, there is this number, and that number, and the other number, and then under foolish, I added the several other entries until I had all of the Strong's numbers, indicating different Greek words, until I had all of the Strong's numbers on a piece of paper. Then I looked up in the back of the concordance, in the definitions there, and observed what each of these words meant. I counted up 6 different entries for the word fool. Then I happened to note how many times each of these words was used. I noticed the Strong's entry 3474 and the several accompanying words, that entry is used about 21 times in the New Testament, whereas several of the other entries for fool are used but once in the New Testament. Having studied Strong's, then I went to the Englishman's Greek concordance, and as I showed us last time, I went to the back portion of the Englishman's to where we have the English words listed and then all of the Greek words next to them. I'm on page 896 in my copy of the Englishman's concordance, and I find the entry for fool, 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 foolish, 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 foolishly, foolishness. Each of those is a separate entry. And there you can count up the Greek words, and yes, indeed, is just about the number that I'd found in the Strong's. At some point, when you do both of these, when you use both of these books, you will find, say, I'm getting the same material from 2 different resources. Yes, that's what I want you to observe. And then find out which resource you prefer to use. Would you rather use the Strong's and run back and forth from the Strong's entry to the back and look at the Greek numbers and turn the pages back and forth? Do you like that better? Or would you rather use the Englishman's in back, where all of the Greek words are listed right in order there on the page for you to observe? Really, both are quite accurate. Both will say the same thing. It depends which you prefer to use, the Englishman's or Strong's. You'll get the same information from both. Here we have the fact that there are six different Greek words translated fool in the New Testament. On my own, having studied the Proverbs and the fool in Proverb, and having studied the fool in the New Testament, I found a very direct relationship in the categories. I want to leave that up to you, though, for your own study. See if you can divide the outline as neatly as our wisdom booklet divides it, and if you can apply the New Testament type of fool to the Old Testament type and correlate the two. I find a very, very productive scripture study. Having done that myself, and my life has changed. I have thoroughly appreciated this study. Let me share with you some of the things that I learned, in part to whet your own appetite for the study of God's Word. The first of the Greek words translated fool that I studied was the word anoetas. I observe that this is a word that means not knowing. Nous is the Greek word, or noeo is the Greek word, therefore to know with the mind. And anoetas is not knowing, or not understanding, or not comprehending. You don't know the facts. And such a person is a fool. Let me show you an example. In Luke 24, verse 25, the Lord Jesus is speaking here. Luke 24, 25, he's speaking on the road to Emmaus to several precious believers. And he said unto them, "Oh," now you know what that English word is in the Authorized Version, "Oh, fools." Now wait just a minute. In Matthew 5:22, this same Lord Jesus said, "Whoever calls someone else a fool is in danger of hellfire." And here the Lord Jesus in Luke 24:25 in our Authorized Version says, "Oh, fools." Was the Lord in danger of hellfire? Was he the exception to the rule? Could he say the word, but we not? Well, if you only use your Authorized Version, you might be confused. If you will open your Greek text to those two places, Matthew 5 and Luke 24, you will find that that one English word, fool, is translated by two completely different Greek words. So Lord Jesus indeed means what he says in Matthew 5. Here in Luke 24, when he's addressing his friends, he says, "Oh, fools," but the word is anoetas. Senseless ones, those without understanding, the fellows who didn't know the facts. He says, "Fools and slow of heart to believe in all which the prophets spoke." The first kind of fool in the New Testament is this simple fool who doesn't know the facts. And he, as with each of these other cases you will observe shortly, he is indeed a fool. But there is an answer. In each of these cases, the answer is in reading and heeding the book. Observe it in Luke 24:25. He said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke." Where would they learn what the prophets spoke? They would learn it by reading the Word of God. The person who is senseless or who is not understanding God's Word can become wise if he heeds the instruction of God's Word. And that instruction is very simple. We're to read the book. Read the prophets. Ask God to give you knowledge. I'll show us how this works. Look in Luke 24:45. 20 verses later, we read, "Then he opened their nous, their mind, their understanding, in order that they could understand the Scriptures." If you are this kind of fool, this anoetas fool, where you don't understand things, the answer is to ask the Spirit of God to open your eyes. to open your mind, to open your understanding, that news. Dear God, is your prayer as you open the book, dear God, please open my understanding that I would not be a fool. Oh, beautiful study here as you see the other places where this word noetos is used. Galatians 3, the Apostle Paul addresses that crowd and says, oh, foolish Galatians. In Romans 1:14, the Apostle addresses the crowd in Rome and he says, I'm a debtor even to these people who are the unthinking or the unknowing. Paul had a great burden to communicate the gospel. The first kind of fool, then, can have his folly overcome as the Spirit of God opens his eyes, his understanding to the Scripture. Second kind of fool, in my study, I found this Greek word asunetos, also translated fool, completely different word. Asunetos, this is a word, this is a person who has the facts, but he can't put them together. He's like the fool, the simpleton, the individual who has a 1,000-piece puzzle spread out all over the table, but he says, this doesn't look like the picture on the box cover. No, you have to put the things together. And the asunetos word, that fool is one who hasn't yet drawn it together, hasn't yet put it together. And this kind of a person is a fool if he persists in his darkness. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 speaks of these people whose foolish heart was darkened. It was darkened by sin. Now, because I have to speak quickly, because our time is sliding away, what's the solution for a person who is this one without the comprehension, the ability to put the facts of Scripture together? Well, that answer is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. And let's turn there where we find the word used again. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. We read in the interlinear text, consider the things that I say, and may give to thee the Lord understanding. He said, you consider it, and God will give you understanding. And that word understanding, sunesis, right there. That's the same word as the asunetis, without that A negative. You consider what I say, this verse says, and the Lord will give you understanding, the comprehension, the ability to put things together in all things. Once again, folly is overcome by the Lord using his word. The third of these New Testament words for fool is asophos. Sophos is that word sophisticated or sophistry. And the asophos is the unsophisticated person, the one who just lacks certain graces. Turn with me and see this word used in Ephesians 5, verse 15. The Lord is giving a specific command to these believers at Ephesus and to you and me today. He says, take heed, therefore, how accurately or circumspectly you walk. Not as the unwise, there it is, not as the unsophisticated believer, but as wise, the sophi, ransoming the time because the days are evil. We're to be careful how we walk. We're to walk circumspectly in a sophisticated manner. Maybe you say, I don't have that sophistication. I'm not certain that I can walk exactly as God wants me to. I might be the unwise or the foolish person, as that word is other places translated in the New Testament. How do you overcome this foolishness, this asophia? Once again, the Englishman's concordance that shows us where this word is used also shows us the answer to the question. Turn to James chapter 1. In your Greek interlinear text, James 1, verse 5. But if any one of you lacks sophia, wisdom. Well, that's what the asophia, the asophos person is. He's one who is lacking sophia. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, what else? Let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. What are you going to ask God for? For wisdom, that you might walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as a wise person, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He says he'll give you that wisdom. He'll direct your steps. He'll provide for you. You can overcome folly as you turn to your God. The fourth of these New Testament words, same sense of joy when you understand your folly and you understand his wisdom. This is the word moros, where you get the disparaging term in English, moron. And see where moros is used. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 13. The moron. Matthew 5, 13. Oh, but you don't find moron in the English text there. You will in the Greek text. Matthew 5, 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt become, and what's that next word? Look at it in the Greek text. If the salt becomes, the translation says, tasteless. But it's actually that Greek word, morino. Now, how in the world do you get from being a fool to talking about salt and losing savor? Well, let me ask, have you ever known a person that you said of that one, he lacks good taste? He's tasteless. He's a person who lacks these social graces, and you can just expect that he'll do the wrong thing in public when you're with him, and he'll embarrass you. He lacks tact. He lacks good taste. Ah, that's the kind of fool. If the salt has become tasteless... Well, salt isn't the only thing that is tasteless. We find also that individuals are tasteless. They become fools. You can find many, many examples of this in the New Testament. Let's turn to but one example that is both the problem and the solution together. In Matthew 7:24, through the end of the chapter, through verse 29, we find this word moron. We find the problem, we find the example, we find the solution. Matthew 7:24, everyone therefore, whoever hears my words and does them, I will liken him to a certain kind of a person, a prudent person, who built his house on a rock. And he came down the rain, and came the streams, and blew the winds, and fell upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Everyone, verse 26, who hears my words and doesn't do them, he shall be likened to a man who is foolish, who's a moron. So here we see in verse 24 the wise person, and in verse 26 we find the fool. Who is the fool? The moron, verse 26, the one who hears my words and doesn't do them. That kind of folly is very well, beautifully, wisely offset in verse 24. Whoever hears my words and does them, he will be the prudent or the wise man. Say, are you one of these morons? Do you lack good taste spiritually? Do you find that you are often doing that which displeases the Lord? Well, then you're a fool. The solution is, verse 24, hear my words, do them. We're to read, we are to feed, and we are to heed God's word. He says he'll overcome that folly. Well, the fifth of these words, you can expand this study with your family. You can take hours. You can take days. It can be a lot of fun. The fifth of these words is paraphroneo, another word for fool. This word para, the prefix there, the preposition, means to be alongside, and is to be alongside of your mind, to be beside yourself, to be crazy. Have you said of someone, he seems beside himself today? He's not acting himself? There's such a case in Scripture. Turn to 2 Peter 2, verse 16. We find a man there who was beside himself. He was mad. He was a fool. 2 Peter 2, 16. The individual is Balaam. Verse 15 speaks of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the reward of unrighteousness. Verse 16, but he reproof he had of his own wickedness, the beast of burden, that dumb one in man's voice speaking, forbidding the prophet's madness. Do you see the last word in verse 16? Parphronian. He was mad. The prophet was crazy. It was folly, it was foolishness for him to keep going straight ahead. He was trying to do the will of God. He was doing it in the flesh. He was displeasing God. And God was trying to get a hold of this fool. He was grappling with this man who was trying to serve him in the flesh. The paraphroneo, the one who was beside himself. You might find yourself in that similar situation where you're trying to please God, but you sense you're displeasing him. What's the answer, fool? The answer is to get the word of God and apply it to the situation. See how the Greek word again opens this truth up. Turn to Romans 12. In your text, you'll see it if you look in the analytical and the entry for this word. In Romans chapter 12, verse 16, we read, "The same thing toward one another, mind." Not high things minding. I'm reading in the interlinear text, but with the lowly going along. Now here's the last part of the verse. "Be not wise, be not phronizo in yourselves." The answer there is don't be wise in your own conceits. Don't think yourself so confident in the direction you're going. Don't be so crazy. Such a person who's beyond counsel, don't be such a fool in your own conceits that you cannot be alerted by other natural or supernatural phenomena. The one who's beside himself, like Balaam, who's marching straight ahead in a crazy direction, must become wise. He's alerted to the Word of God speaking and directing and counseling him. And the sixth of these Greek words, the word aphron. This word is one that means kind of foamy, no substance, frothy. We read of the fellow in Mark chapter 9 who had a dumb spirit. Mark 9:17 said that this dumb boy, the one who had this spirit that causing him not to be able to speak, the dumb boy foamed at the mouth. And that's that word for folly. Boy, the Pharisees in Luke chapter 11 are called fools. Paul called the rich man was called a fool. Paul calls some theologians fools. Then in Ephesians 5, he tells us, don't be unwise, don't be that kind of fool, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. All through the New Testament, we find this person who is the frothy, without substance, fool, the one who's just kind of light. There's not much to him. Have you ever gotten a milkshake at the Dairy Queen or a place like that, and you let it sit for a while, and you came back, and you know this milkshake that had filled your cup when you paid for it had melted down, and it was mostly just whipped up air, and you come back, and there's but a little bit of liquid substance at the bottom of the cup? What happened? All the foam bubbles popped. Certain fools appear to be full of wisdom, but you observe that it's actually this frothy, foamy wisdom. It's no substance. Such were the Pharisees, such was the rich man, such are these theologians who resist the Lord Jesus. Might be that case in your life. You think you have all the answers for others. You realize you don't have answers for yourself. What's the solution for such a fool? God's Word speaks very directly again. The aphron, take off that A, the negative. What are we going to have? Turn to Colossians 3:2. Here again, the Greek speaks very clearly. It turns us to God's Word, Colossians 3, verse 2. In our interlinear text, the things that are above, start minding, not the things on the earth. There's that word, phroneo. Set your affections, set your attentions on things that are truly substantive. Those that are from above, the mind of Christ, not things that are on the earth. Well, this fool, this study was very, very cursory. It was very quick. Certainly, it was leading you into the text. I hope that you can take your own time, lead your own family, and do this at your own pace. you will find great profit. There will be great opportunity for application, and I believe it will prepare you in a special way to appreciate the other resources in this particular wisdom booklet.